You can take your Bibles this morning and open them once again to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, to Mark chapter 4. As you go there to Mark chapter 4, remind us a little bit of what's going on in the book. Basically, last week we saw a major shift in the ministry of Jesus. In his public ministry, he's still teaching large crowds of people, still proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. But the difference is that now Jesus does this almost entirely in parables. Now, a parable, you might remember, is basically a lengthy comparison often told as a story. And last week, we only looked at one parable, a long one. One of Jesus' most famous parables, the story of the sower and the soil. You remember, a sower went out to sow, and he scatters seed, and it falls on different places, and different things happen to it. And then Jesus goes along after that and actually tells us line by line what that meant, which is pretty helpful. This week, we're going to pick up in the first verse after that story. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. Take a look at it with me. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." All right. Do we have ears to hear that? Okay. What exactly are we supposed to be hearing? Okay. In our text today, there are actually going to be four short stories told by Jesus. We just saw the first one, story about a lamp, and there's going to be three more right after this. And I just want to show you how you can see those. Just look at the text again. Look at verse 21 again and look at how it starts. Notice, "And he said to them." Then you get a little story about a lamp. Then look to verse 24. "And he said to them." Then a little story about measuring things. Then verse 26. "And he said." Then a little story about how the kingdom is like a guy who scattered some seed. And then verse 30. "And he said." And you get one more short story where Jesus says the kingdom is like a little mustard seed. All right? Four stories. That's our focus for this morning. This text is kind of like the text from last week then, in that it's parables. But it's different because the text last week was just one long parable. But even a bigger difference is that last week, Jesus told us everything that parable meant. And in this week, he doesn't tell us what any of these things mean. Okay? Now, it's interesting, if you look carefully at the text, Jesus actually does tell his disciples everything that he's talking about. But Mark doesn't tell us those explanations. So that puts us in a little bit of an interesting position as we read these stories and think about them together. So let's get back to the text and let's start to think about these. Four short stories, two pairs, really. First two stories go together. Second two stories go together, so that's how we'll look at them. Look at verse 21 again. "And Jesus said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed?" All right, so what do you think? Kids, what do you think? If your room was dark and you brought in a small light, what would you do with that light? Would you put it under a bucket or maybe under your bed? Under your couch. Is that what you would do with a light? Stick it under a bucket? No? All right. That's not what anyone would do with a light in a dark room, right? Now, here's a picture of what these kind of lamps would have looked like. These are small oil lamps. These are like the really basic ones. This is probably the kind of thing Jesus is talking about. They don't even put out that much light, actually. So you bring it in. You know, maybe it's getting dark. You bring it into the room. Jesus just asked this question. It's almost, like a silly question. Are you going to bring that in to put it under a basket or to put it under a bed, which could also be like a couch, because you remember they usually recline at meals. And so he's like, you're going to bring it in to your room to eat and you're going to stick it under the couch that you're reclining on. Nobody would do that. Aren't you going to stick it up high on a stand so it can spread its light in the room? Of course, that's what we would do. All right, so that's a nice story. But what's the point? What do you think? We could probably use some light ourselves on this. To figure it out, I think we have to remember what Jesus said earlier, in the last text actually, about why he's teaching in parables. Because I think everybody wondered that. Like, why are you making this big switch? Like, before this, I don't think he does. But then once you get to Mark 4, he starts teaching this way. And I'm sure everybody, crowds, his own disciples, they're all wondering, what's going on here? I mean, these are interesting stories, but why are you doing this? And you remember what he said last week? Jesus said that to those who had opened their hearts to him, who were willing to listen to him, he says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. You see, a lot of what God had planned to do, to rescue us from our sins and to restore his reign, was hidden from our eyes. It was like a secret. Now, it's not like nothing was in the Old Testament about this. There are prophecies all over the place. But the vast majority of people, including Jesus' disciples, missed what God was planning to do. But now, Jesus has come. And he's come bringing light to the world, to unlock the secrets of the kingdom, to open our eyes. And Jesus says that light that he's bringing, it hasn't come to be put under a basket or under a bed, has it? No, Jesus has come to open eyes and shine light into darkness. And verse 22 says, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. You see, nothing has been hidden to stay hidden forever. Now, God has slowly been revealing his plan bit by bit since the beginning of the Bible. But now, Jesus says, the time has come for God's plan, hidden for ages, to come to light. And Jesus is the one with the keys to unlock the secrets so that people can see. And he hasn't come so that his light can be covered up. He's come to let his light shine so that his people can see what God has been keeping kind of on the down low for many, many centuries. And he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. If you have ears to hear, use them. And use them to listen to Jesus. Because in Jesus and in what he is saying, you can find all the treasures of wisdom. But you have to listen to Jesus. That's the key. So verse 24, story 2, very related. Look at verse 24. And Jesus said to them, pay attention to what you hear. To what you hear from him. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, hopefully you can see how that fits with what he just said. Since Jesus is bringing God's plan into the light, pay attention to what he says. As the author of Hebrews says, God has been speaking for hundreds of years in many ways through his prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, Jesus. Listen to him. And that's basically what Jesus is saying. Listen to me. Pay attention to me. And be careful how you listen to me. Why? Because he says, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, that little proverb about the measure That was a common one in Jesus' day. It was used in lots of different places. It meant something like, be careful, you're going to get back whatever you put in. Or as one translation says here, the measure you use will be the measure you receive. Jesus' point is basically, be careful how you evaluate me and how you listen to me. Because with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And then notice what he says, and still more will be added. Do you see that? So I want to put this in plain terms, because these proverbs and things, they don't always register for us. So like in plain terms, what is Jesus getting at here? I think he is saying, if you open your heart to Jesus and his teaching, you will receive more and more light. If you keep listening to Jesus, he'll keep revealing more and more of himself to you and of God's plans to you. But be careful. If you keep shutting your heart to Jesus, saying no to Jesus, you are in serious danger. Even what you have may soon be taken away. And that is exactly what's happening in the parables. Do you remember? That's what Jesus said last week. The parables are unlocking the secrets for those who are willing to listen. But for those who are saying, he's out of his mind, or he's possessed by Satan, the parables are hiding. Even what they have is being taken from them. You don't mess around with Jesus. As the scriptures say, today, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts. The response that scripture always calls for is listen to Jesus now. Always now. Never later. Those are our first two stories about a lamp and a measure. Both are about the need to listen and pay attention to Jesus. Now we'll go to the second pair of stories. Two parables in which our Lord Jesus shines light on the secrets of the kingdom of God. Verse 26. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. That's what the kingdom's like. You get that? What do you make of that? In what way is the kingdom of God like that? You have a farmer, we'd suppose, who throws some seed on the ground. And then what does he do? He sort of does nothing. Okay, did you notice that? And Jesus knows farmers work hard. Okay, this is no like slight on farmers. But like in this story, the farmer basically doesn't do anything. And he doesn't really know anything either. He just goes to bed, and he gets up, and he goes to bed, and he gets up. He doesn't really know what's going on. But what's happening with that seed under the ground? Kind of out of sight. It sprouts, and it starts to grow. And the man couldn't really explain this to you. I couldn't really explain it to you either. Exactly what's happening and how it's happening or why it's even happening. I don't really know. But something is definitely happening. As time goes by, what do you see? See a little bit, the blade or the first part of the grain kind of pokes out through the ground. And then eventually you start to see the head of grain starting to form. And then eventually, full grain. Full heads of grain. Great story. What does it mean? Again, in what way or ways is the kingdom of God like that? Like I said before, Jesus doesn't tell us the interpretation to any of these stories. But in this story, I think we can say a couple of things. Just thinking about it, observing it. Okay, one of the things is that the growth of the seed in the story is clearly not dependent on the man in the story. I mean, that's an interesting part of this story. Jesus knows farmers work hard, but in this story, the guy doesn't do anything. He doesn't know anything. It just, All he did was scatter the seed and stuff happens. There's something about the seed in the story and some sort of power that's outside of that man's control going on here. The man scatters the seed, but the growth, the grain, comes from somewhere else. Second, when it comes to the kingdom, because remember, these stories are about the kingdom. That's what the parables particularly are about. Most Jews, even Jesus' own disciples, were expecting the kingdom to come how? In dramatic, powerful, glorious ways. The king would come. Enemies would be crushed. God would reign. Jesus is unlocking the secret of the kingdom. The kingdom isn't going to come like that right now. The kingdom is more like this. It's more like seed being sown in the ground. And it grows in unexpected ways, sort of off the radar, in ways that you couldn't even explain. But one day, before you know it, it has spread all over the place. In the story, the man looks out one day, and what does he see? A full harvest of grain. And when he sees it, what does he know to do? Verse 29, he looks out, he sees full harvest of grain. Verse 29 says, but when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. What's a sickle? Looks something like this. The sickle's used to harvest the grain. Farmer looks out, there's all the grain, and he knows it's time for harvest. Gets out his sickle and starts to cut. Now, it's interesting that that last verse that I read, okay, verse 29, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. That last verse is pretty much a direct quote from the book of Joel in the Old Testament. We don't have to go there, but in the prophet Joel, God is talking about the great day of the Lord when God would come to judge sin and save his people. And Joel 3:13 says, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. And it's not just there. The same things happen repeatedly in the book of Revelation. In chapter 14 of Revelation, the word sickle, okay, get this, is used 7 times in 6 verses. And what starts it is, Jesus is basically coming, or he's ready to come, and an angel calls out to Jesus, and this is what the angel says to Jesus. Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe. And Jesus will reap that day. The kingdom of God is like this. Okay. The good news of the kingdom, of what God is doing through Jesus, is being sown. The message is being spread. And though it doesn't look very impressive, God is at work. It might be slow and subtle, pretty much under the radar, but God is at work. And one day, when you look up, the fields will be ready to reap. Now to the fourth story, verse 30. And Jesus said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? Interesting. Jesus asks you, what would be a good picture for the kingdom of God? Seems like he asks this, poses this question, and he says, here's one. I've got a good one for you. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it's sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. That's what the kingdom of God is like. And we think, what does he mean by that? In what way is the kingdom of God like this? I mean, just think of how shocking these parables would be if you were expecting the kingdom to come in might and power. for God to come in spectacular fashion and crush all your enemies and deliver you. And Jesus says, what's a good parable for the kingdom? What could I compare it to? Oh yeah, it's like a grain of mustard seed. What? A grain of mustard seed is what the kingdom of God is like? Okay, now let me help us with a few pictures about this. I doubt most of our mustard knowledge extends beyond the refrigerator. Okay, so the mustard seed. The mustard seed, okay, was known in Israel for being really, really small. It was like something you could use like in Proverbs and stuff. It's like the small thing. You want to talk about something small, you talk about the mustard seed, okay? Now here's a couple pictures, give us some perspective, okay? A mustard seed, to show like one picture in perspective with a finger, often called, this would be like black mustard, perhaps what Jesus was talking about. I was also helped by seeing many seeds in somebody's hands. Okay, so that you could get an idea, if you can even see it, like, of what this is like, okay? Now, what does Jesus say? The kingdom is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it's sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. But what happens when that mustard seed grows? What does Jesus say? Yet when the mustard seed is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Now, what does that look like? Jesus seems to be talking about a kind of mustard plant or shrub that grows and eventually looks like a tree, or some people almost will even call it a tree. Jesus will talk about it as a tree in other texts. Now, what does that look like? Here are two pictures of what that might look like. Take a little seed and ends up maybe looking something like this. Or here's one with a person there with it. Now, what do you think when you look at that? For one thing, I think, how do seeds so small turn into something like that? Okay. But the other thing that has stood out to me this week is that a mustard shrub was by no means majestic or glorious. I mean, a lot of mustard in Israel grew on its own and nobody even wanted it. It was really hard to get rid of, almost like weeds. So think about that. I mean, it's one thing for Jesus to say the kingdom of God is like a towering oak tree or cedar tree from Lebanon, you know? But a mustard shrub. I love this. But again, what's the story actually saying? Okay, for one thing, the parable is clearly about the small, unimpressive beginning of the mustard shrub. It starts with incredibly small seeds that you can hardly even see. But in the end, the mustard shrub is big enough for the birds of the air to take shelter in its branches and under its shade. The kingdom of God is like that, Jesus says. In other words, it's not at all what everybody's expecting. It's not coming instantaneously with overwhelming displays of power, with pomp and circumstance, with flashes of lightning, crashes of thunder. What is the kingdom of God like? It's like a mustard shrub. What God is doing through Jesus will start small, really small. It'll be unimpressive. It'll seem weak. But one day, the kingdom God is building through Jesus will be large enough to provide shelter for many. Mark then adds his own closing comment in verse 33. With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. So Mark says Jesus had a lot more parables than these. This is just a few of them. But notice also how Mark highlights that Jesus had special care for his followers. Did you see that? He taught them as they were able to hear it. And privately to his own disciples, he explained all their questions. answered everything for them. You see, for those who truly want to know Jesus, who are willing to open their hearts to him, they will find Jesus' heart wide open toward them. So four stories: a lamp, a measure, a farmer, a mustard shrub. Quite the variety. What are we supposed to take away from them? What does Jesus want us to hear when he keeps saying, pay attention to what you hear? Like last week, I'll just encourage us along a few lines. One, you got to think about the kingdom of God when you think about the parables, because the parables are about the kingdom. So, Jesus is unlocking secrets of the kingdom. What are they? For most people in Jesus' day who are familiar with the Old Testament, they were expecting something powerful, majestic, overwhelming. Jesus, however, says the kingdom is more like a farmer who scatters some seed and over time it grows. Or it's more like a grain of mustard seed, which seems so unimpressive. But in the end, it's big enough to provide shelter for many. Can you see how Jesus' teaching can encourage us in our own sharing of the good news of what God has done through Jesus, or in our own work in the church, for example? I mean, we share the word, not trusting in ourselves or our own ability. Instead, we have to trust God to do what he said, to give the increase as he sees fit. We may sow, we may water, but only God can give the growth. And it's all in his timing and under his control. And so I would just encourage you in regard to Christmas season to take heart and to talk freely about Jesus. Sing of Jesus. Share the good news about the King who has come. And trust God to do what only he can do. I speak this in my own life, looking forward to chances to spend time with family, friends who don't know the Lord Jesus, sometimes not sure. Not sure what to say, not sure what good it will do. Share the news about Jesus. Talk freely. You've been given freely. Share freely. And trust God to do what only God can do. Second, we've heard again today of the absolute need to listen to Jesus now. I don't know what Jesus is calling you to do today or how he's been at work in your heart over the last few weeks, but listen to this. Today, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts. Or as Jesus says in our text today, pay close attention to what you hear, because with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. And then lastly, as we've been drawn repeatedly this morning through the singing of the children, through scripture, to the Christmas story, I have found it personally really helpful this week to think about the story of the birth of Christ in the light of these parables. Now, I'm not saying these stories of the kingdom are directly about the story of Christmas. But as I've been thinking about Christmas and these stories both this week, I've been struck by the similarity between the stories of the kingdom and the story of the king. And I'll just share one of my personal meditations throughout this week on this as we close. I want you to think specifically of the hidden and totally unimpressive beginning to the life of the king. Jesus was born in complete obscurity. The king did not arrive as you would expect a king to arrive, or as anybody expected the king to arrive. He wasn't born in a palace, no pomp, no circumstance. Jesus was born in a stable, a room for animals. He was placed in a feeding trough. He was born in a little town to lowly parents of an oppressed people. Had it not been for his heavenly father making sure that at least a couple of lowly shepherds showed up, his birth would have gone entirely unnoticed. I think what a beginning for the life of a king. But you see, the seeds of what God would do were being planted that day in Bethlehem. But that's not all that you see about this in Jesus' life. That little baby would grow up in Nazareth, a place where no one good comes from, they might say. And even when he would appear publicly, there would be nothing impressive about him, nothing that would make us desire him. And how do we even describe how impressive he looked, hanging on a cross, naked, shamed, disgraced, rejected? What kind of a king ever went on a path like that to the throne? But it was through that humble beginning, his lowly life, and then his humiliating death, that the baby boy from Bethlehem would become the king. But the seeds of what God would do were planted in Bethlehem. And I would say, one day, before we know it, we'll look out and the harvest will be ripe and ready to reap. And that sun, that same sun, will rise and he'll come again, but this time he'll come with the clouds of heaven. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And many will mourn on that day when they see him. But everyone will confess that day that Jesus the Christ is Lord. And for those who have opened their hearts to him, who have been willing to listen to him and respond to his call, to turn to him and trust in him, we will find under the shelter of his wings, under the branches of his kingdom, we'll find shade and our eternal shelter. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the beautiful teaching of Scripture. And we thank you for your beautiful Son. Lord Jesus, you are Lord, already seated, reigning, King of kings and Lord of lords. Help us in every way that you are calling us to respond in obedience to you today. In your name we pray. Amen.